Parshat Vayigash, we have that very sentimental, very powerful moment when Yosef HaTzadik reveals himself to his brothers. Yehuda is pleading for Binyamin, pleading his case. I can't go up to my father if the youth is not with me. And Joseph could not restrain himself in the presence of all who stood before him. So he called out, "Remove everyone from before me." No one remained with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He cried in a loud voice. Egypt heard, Pharaoh's household heard. And here's the key pasuk, Gimel. And Yosef said to his brothers, "Ani Yosef, ha'od avi chai. I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him because they were left disconcerted before him. Nifhalu mipanav. I want to learn together one medrash on this pasuk, a very famous medrash. The medrash says, Abba Kohen Bardeo said, "Woe to us from the day of judgment, woe to us from the day of rebuke. Yosef was the youngest of the tribes, and they, his brothers, could not bear his rebuke. How much more so when a Kadosh Baruch Hu will come and rebuke each and every person according to who he is." That's the Medrash. Now, obviously, we need to understand in this Medrash, as Bekarei Shmo asks in source number 4, "Ulecharat tzarich iyun eifon nirmaz b'dibro shel Yosef shum tochcha l'shvatim." Where do you see any rebuke? Yosef doesn't say, I am Yosef, he wanted to kill me. He just says, "I am Yosef," right? Later he'll say, "Do not be distressed, do not reproach yourself for having sold me here." No. Right now he just says one sentence, "Ani Yosef ha'od avi chai." Where do you see rebuke in this? And then we have to ask ourselves, and this is Ner Uzi on source 5 at the end, this statement is difficult to understand since the relationship between the end of days and Yosef's encounter with the brother is not readily apparent. What do the two have in common? So first of all, we have to understand what is the rebuke that Yosef gives his brothers. And secondly, when we understand what the rebuke is, we have to understand how is this rebuke similar to the rebuke that Hashem will give us, each and every one of us in the future, by saying Ani Hashem. So I'd like to try to take a look at this medrash on 4 levels. Within some of the levels, we'll have multi-levels, which is okay. And some are classic approaches and some are less classic. And all of these approaches we'll try to understand as well, just very briefly, how it connects to Hanukkah, since Parshat Vayigash is always read after Hanukkah, and some people may be listening on Hanukkah itself, so we'll still have a little bit of Hanukkah inspiration as well. The classic approach of where is the rebuke, right, Ani Yosef Ha'od Avi Chai, is the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi, source number 5, "You claim that Binyamin's absence will endanger a father's life," Yosef was telling his brother. "Yet when you sold me, you were not overly concerned about how this would affect his health. What has changed?" This explains why Yosef asked, "Is my father still alive?" And not, "Is her father still alive?" With a subtle verbal inflection, he reprimanded his brothers for implying that Yaakov cared only for Binyamin. "You show such great concern over the welfare of Binyamin's father," he said to them. "What about my father? Don't you care about him? Is he still alive? According to your own logic, he should not have survived my loss." So the Beis HaLevi said this was the rebuke. The rebuke is, "You're telling me I should have Rachmanos," Yehuda saying to Yosef, "because our father can't stand if I don't bring Binyamin back. Oh, really? I should have Rachmanos?" Where was this thought 22 years earlier when you didn't bring me back? Did you think about my father then? Only now you're thinking about the father? So this is a rebuke showing that you can't have it from both sides. On this, Rav Birnbaum and Bekarei Shmo says, obviously, there must be something deeper going on here. What were the Shvatim thinking about? Obviously, they thought about their father, right? It wasn't that they acted in such a rash way. What was it when they sold Yosef? What did they actually think was going to happen to Yaakov Avinu? So here, Bekarei Shmo, and this will be level number 1, explains. Here, Yosef HaTzadik says, "Ha'od Avichai, is my father still alive?" He should have said, "Ani Yosef Ha'od Avinu Chai, is our father still alive?" In plural. Why does he focus in on the singular? Aval, Tanu Sheyakov Yeshel Yudbet Banim, source 7 in the arrow, Uma Bekachi Mechad Yabed Mimenu, Anu Nitchazek Batzmenu, Unimaleh Tachisarom. Hey, Mevinu Sheavu Avach Elecho Banav, Yim Ken Yechzar Lo Chami Banav, Sharachim Yechulim Litchazek. What were the brothers thinking? Look, there are 12 stumps. So if one of them isn't around, Neshka Ferlach, you have 11 others to compensate. It's not such a big deal. That's what the brothers were thinking. Okay, I understand it's bad, but you know what? There's enough others to fill in the void. And Yaakov and Yosef Atzadik was telling them, no, v'lo hevinu shamenein, okay, this is not true. Abba, lo mishaneh kama banim yeshlo, a father, it doesn't matter how many children he has, a father is a father to each and every child individually. And that's why he said, ha'od avichai, is my father still alive? Is that aspect of the relationship between me and my father still alive and well, to understand that it's not just about the collective, but the father is a personal father to each and every one. And this is what Yosef HaTzadik understood when Yehuda spoke. He spoke also about Avi instead of Avinu, that there is this relationship of each and every one is special to the father. So here, what was the rebuke that Yosef HaTzadik was giving? He was saying is, you missed the boat. You think that if you have other sons, the father doesn't care about one son. No. Each and every son is important to the father. Ha'od Avicha, is my individual father still alive? In what way is this a tochacha, a rebuke for the future? So he says, v'zeu shamar ha-medrash, oy lanu miyom adin, oy lanu miyom atocha, the end of 9, shekach yochiach ha-kodesh baruch hu otanu gamke. Hashem will tell us that, look at your own lives. There were certain mitzvahs that you were weak in, and you said to yourself, it's not such a big deal. Hashem has so many other people keeping Shabbat. So if I don't keep Shabbat 100%, is that such a big deal? Hashem has so many boys learning to make Medrash. If I cut out early, does it really matter? And the answer is, no, it does matter. This is what the rebuke is for the future. Of Ani Yosef Ha'od Avichai, is my father still alive? There's an individual relationship with each and every son. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol has a relationship with each and every one of us. Im Ani Midrashel, double underline in 10, Ani Pogea Ba'avam Yuchad V'Shalem Sheli V'Avon Hurah. If I am lazy, if I am weak, if I am not fulfilling my obligations as I should, there is an impact on my relationship with Hashem, and it does matter to Hashem. It's not, oh, it's not a big deal, a zillion other Jews are keeping this mitzvah. No, Hashem has a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And that, on the first level, is really one of the messages of Ner Chanukah. This little bit of oil Hashem cares about, that it should last 8 days. You'll say, what's the big deal? One cruse of oil, so-and-so or so-and-so, does one cruse of oil make a difference? And the answer is yes, it makes a big difference. We have a holiday for hundreds, thousands of years because of this little cruse of oil. We should never in any way minimize our personal relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's level one. Level two. Level two is very classic. We'll begin with Ruach Eliyahu Rasvei. Ha'achim, source 11. Ha'achim itachu ad ko imahalach sheyesh liyosef dimrol dev. What were the brothers thinking? Why did the brothers indeed decide to kill Yosef? They believed he was a rodef. In their mind, they saw that Yosef Tzadik wanted to rule over them, and that these dreams were these fantasies of rulership, and that he wanted to be included as one of the avos, and therefore they felt that he was taking away from them their ability to be the Shifteka, that he was going to be the continuation of the Avos. And in that way, he was, so to speak, killing them. He was a Rotev. He was taking away their position as being part of the Shvatim. And that's why they felt they were 100% correct, they formed a base team, that they were able to kill him. Ko betuchim 12 hayu sheish l'dim rodev v'shapalui mo betzedek al pishran adin. They were 100% convinced that what they did was correct. At that very moment that Yosef HaTzadik says unto Yosef, they suddenly realize, oh my gosh, we made a mistake. But Tzadik in Yosef, lo itam. And he was on the side of truth. At that moment, they realized that all of those dreams were coming to fruition. At that moment, they realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu started on the side of Yosef, not on their side. In that very moment of Ani Yosef, that was the rebuke, their whole lives. And everything they felt was turned on its head. Mirotef, nefach Yosef l'nirdaf. From being one who pursued, he was the pursuer. And they realized that they were the Rofim, they're the ones who are running after him. and Yosef and his dreams all came to be. They realized that their entire raison d'etre in life, their entire focus in life, was mistaken. Ani Yosef is the biggest rebuke you can imagine. Whoa! Everything they thought about him wasn't true. And that, he says in 13, Kechol Nerezo Gam Kavanat HaMedrash, Oilam Yom Adim, Oilam Yom Atokcha. This is applicable to us. Lasi Lovo in the future. Hashem is going to say two words, Ani Hashem. And then we're going to see that our whole lives have been lived with also false dreams, false expectations, and a false understanding of what life is all about. Chazal is saying the Zohar, that a person goes around the world, and he believes the world is his. And he knows. And he thinks he's going to live forever. Yeah, there are people that die, but he's going to live forever. There's like this deception that we have, this almost fantasy that we have, that other people died. We'll be around forever. And he brings here from Chaim Volozhin, who brings like almost as a mashal. He says, imagine a person, this is the end of 13, comes from the city of Luz. We know the city of Luz, people live forever, right? If they wanted to die, they walked out of the city of Luz and the Melech HaMavet took them away. So a person from the city of Luz comes out of Luz and he meets the person in the big wide world. And he says to him, wow, you have this concept that you're going to die? He says, yeah. He says, well, how long do you live in this world? Not between 70 and 100 years on average. Wow, the person from Luz says, that's really a short time. We live for hundreds of years. Obviously, you don't spend so much time on eating because you have so much to get done. No, we spend a lot of time on eating. In fact, we spend a lot of money on buying food, right? Ask any seminary yeshiva boy how much money they spend of their parents' money on just eating out. It just boggles the mind. So he says, oh, okay, then obviously you live in very simple houses because you know that's not really worth investing in nice houses because you're not here for that long in the scheme of things. No, 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 we build big houses. And indeed, in Source 14, he quotes here from the Rambam in his Akdama to Pei Rishon Mishnayot. And he says, Ein ba'olam shigaon domeh l'shigaon ha'adam. There's nothing that compares to the foolishness of a person. Uchalusha nefesh v'dal harkava, of weakened spirit. Uchalusha motzi kochot adorim l'sof ho. Nevertheless, he spends every ounce of energy to amass money. V'kashir kvar yesh lo kesef, then when he has money, he starts hiring people, right? So he spends years and years amassing money. Then he gets the money, and then he starts hiring artisans to build him a beautiful house, which Shivnu Labai Chemo Chanim Rabot, that's going to last for many years. When he knows that he doesn't have that many years to live, what is he thinking? And that, my friends, is true of all of us. A person lives mitoch hanacha shalom hazeh huaykar. Just like the brothers of Yosef lived their life feeling 100% that they were right in trying to kill Yosef, we live with 100% assurance that this world is the main world. The world is created for me. Don't Chazal say, Bishvili Nivra Olam, for me the world was created? Of course it was created for you, but it was created for you, calling Nikra Bishmil Uchodibra Tivit Artiva Fatsitim. Is created for you in order to get to the next world. Don't make the tefeli kar. Don't make the secondary, the primary importance. Do you have your priorities in check? And he says this is particularly true, ben adam l'chaveiro. Why there's so many sichsukim? Why there's so much animosity and hatred and jealousy? Because somebody thinks that somebody's taking away something they should have. Whoa! Nobody can take away anything that belongs to you. And indeed, both of you are here for the same purpose, to create godliness in this world. So why are we arguing? Why are we, trying to undercut this one or that one? Like, do we have our priorities in order? This is the challenge of Hani Yosef. And this is Anu Chayim B'Tchusha Shal Kochi V'Otzim Yadi. We think that the world is ours. We can do whatever with what we wish, and that we're in control. We're in charge. It's all about me. Ani Hashem, just like Ani Yosef, is going to open our eyes to realize that we were mistaken in this, that we had all of our priorities wrong, that we lived our whole life with the wrong mindset. Just like they acted based on this assumption their entire life, when we work on the assumption that the world revolves around me and my pleasures and getting what I want, it's all about me, I too am living a life under the wrong assumption. When I have to realize that the world is just a hechitimsi, a medium to get to the next world, and my relationships with others are to bring vod shamayim, to bring God's presence in this world, and that indeed is what the Chanukah lichter are about. I heard from a shiur this past week from Fishel Schechter, a beautiful idea, where he says the Chanukah licht isn't just us looking at the candles, it's Hashem seeing the godly light, it's Kivyochel Hashem looking at us. And when we feel that Hashem is looking at you, then you suddenly say, what type of life am I living? Am I comfortable that Hashem is looking at me? Am I comfortable with the priorities I have in my life? The Chanukah licht is that Or HaGadol, it's a light of clarity. It's a light of being able to get my priorities in order. What am I really living for? For what? For who? What is life all about? And we know, my friends, that none of us have any guarantee in life how long we're going to live here. Nobody has a guarantee, right? People are here and then they're gone in seconds, lo aleinu, in sickness and accidents. We all know this. What guarantee do we have? I'll get to it. One day I'll live a life of good priorities. No, the one day is today. When that Ani Hashem comes, that's going to be the greatest tochacha, the greatest rebuke. Taking this a little bit more specific, Rav Bilsky in Ani Yisrael points out that a person can get used to rationalizing his conduct, concocting persuasive arguments as to the permissibility of his action. That it's not just living a life that Yiras Hashem and that Kvod Shamayim is the focus of my life, even when I realize that I'm serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu, within that framework, I still make excuses. If he continues to repeat these arguments long enough, he will eventually convince himself that his justifications are true. Undoubtedly, he feels that after 120 years, when he goes up to the next world, Ribbono Shel Olam asks him why he acted as he did. His defenses will be prepared. Everything he did will be understandable, correct, and acceptable. However, it will not be that way at all. On the Yom HaDin, the Yom HaTochacha, the Day of Judgment, the rebuke, and rebuke, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not need to ask questions. Ribbono Shel Olam will simply open a person's eyes to the truth, and all the excuses will disappear into nothingness. That's the greatest Tochacha, when you suddenly see, oh my, I thought, what were you thinking? You thought you didn't have time to study? You thought you didn't have the ability to study? You thought that this wasn't the minhag in our place? Did you look into it? Did you look into the halacha? Nobody does this. Why should I bother? Yeah, did you ask? Did you investigate? Did you want to come closer to Hashem? Or are you just taking the easy way out? And this is all of our lives. These are all the excuses. L'titchal Yon develops this. He says in 17, double squiggling, Devar zay yechol lekro l'chol adam. We have excuses for everything we do. Why do we do it this way and not that way? Why aren't we doing it fully? Excuses. And he really believes that when we get to Beis Din Shamala, Hashem said, yes, sure, I believe all those excuses. However, my friends, and person really believes in the end, they're going to give him a mako, mechuba, mizrach shel Gan Eden, the east of Gan Eden. We've convinced ourselves that we are on the highest level. My friends, this is a big mistake. Hatod HaNarabi Yoter, says Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Sher, Rosh Shiva of Slobodkov, Shadami Talach Bolom, Margisha Kiyum, Atarva Mitzvot, Su Ol Shech Hashem Lamod Bo. Person looks through this world and says, oh, Torah mitzvot are so difficult, I can't possibly do this. And he listens to the Yitzhahara who said, here you can cut corners. Here you don't have to do it. It's not really worth learning more Torah or to keep more mitzvot. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show him that you have taken that which is so special, that which is so eternal for nothingness, that pain, that realization, that's the shame and the Gehenna of Gan Eden that we can't even imagine. Oy liyom hadin, oy liyom hatachacha. And as the Al Moshe said, Alas yilavol yarok harsh baruch lifnei kol echa v'acha v'kol ma'asav rabim b'chol arvertam v'giluyam. Hashem is going to expose all of our actions, all of our thoughts, everything we said, and you'll see it in the light of truth. and you'll realize how far we've fallen. You'll realize how much farther we have to go. So my friends, this is pretty intense. And this is why we have the Chagim during the year. This is why we have Shabbos. Shabbos, the letters of Teshuv, to return. This is our job on Hanukkah, which is a time of Tshuva Me'ava. It's a time to recognize and to ask ourselves, do we have our priorities in order? How am I spending my day? Could I be learning more? Could I be doing more chesed? Could I be spending my time better? And when I, don't do something, or I have an excuse for something, to really be honest, is this really a good excuse? Would this excuse hold up in court? Are you not embarrassed to bring this excuse to Hashem why you're not doing A, B, and C? Like Borer, Hashem, come on, give me a break. Do you really believe that, it makes a difference if the chicken is this way or that way, or the silverware is this way or that way? Please. And the Hashem, if Hashem is really important to you, then of course it makes a difference. And I'm going to learn the halachas of Borer. I'm going to learn the halachas of Shabbos. I'm going to learn the halachas of whatever area it is. Yeah. I do enough. Really, you do enough? And even, my friends, when we realize that we have where to improve, even there needs to be improved even more. The Darash David, Rav David Hofstetter, he says, 22 years later, in Source 20, under the pressure of Egyptian viceroy's accusation and arrest, the brothers admitted that their actions had been sinful. We witnessed his desperation as he pleaded to us, but we would not listen, they confessed. Nevertheless, they did not regret their decision to treat Joseph as someone who endangered their spiritual lives and so deserved to be either killed or sold into slavery. Their only regret was over the complete lack of compassion they had displayed while dealing with him. The Ramban explains that when the brothers came to Egypt intending to search for Joseph, they were absolutely certain if he was there, he would still be wallowing in slavery or worse. They searched him in slave markets and establishments of ill repute. They would never have dreamed that he might be employed in the royal palace, and certainly not as a high-ranking officer in the government. When at last Yosef revealed his identity to his brothers, the reality hit them with nuclear force. He truly had become viceroy. He truly had experienced prophetic deeds. Their entire basis for regarding a person non grata and attempting to murder him and finally sell him into slavery had been unfounded. It was an all-enormous mistake. And here's the key in 21. Although the brothers had confessed their sin earlier and repented, the repentance was incomplete. The sin which they had to repent was not only a lack of compassion for Yosef, it was much deeper than that. They failed to understand Yosef's role as a king and the imperative that they be subservient to him. It was not merely an issue of their attitude toward Yosef, it was their entire understanding of Yosef's role in Klal Yisrael that they had misconstrued. Woe to us when we come to the day of reckoning, the Medrash teaches. When we stand before the heavenly court and all our deeds we present us in true light, we'll be dismayed to learn that even when we recognize we had sinned and we repented, we actually confess to ourselves only partially. We may be shocked to discover that we're guilty of enormous sins, and that those sins are the very acts that we regard in our lives as having been righteous and meritorious. Do we really think about what we do? Do we, even when we do tshuva, is it a full tshuva? Is it the tshuva to the depth of all aspects of what we've done? And this is what Yaakov Yosef Lecha quotes Rav Blach Zal in Shirei Das, and he says, Mikan lomdim chazal and the asterisks in 22, umarim otanu, l'masha lulikor l'kol l'chavecha, what will happen to each one of us? When Hashem is going to show all of our actions in their true light, and everyone's going to see what they did in the light of the way they should have done it. And he says, kavachomer b'menosho kavachomer b'doreinu, ma'ma'oda lulim anachnu l'ashlodot etzmenu, shekavateinu inam l'shem shemayim. He says, in our door, right, Rav Blach was contemporary, last 100 years. He says, people fool themselves. I'm doing this Lashem Shemayim. This Lashon Hara is really for Tachlis. We've convinced ourselves of so many things. When really, it's not Lashem Shemayim. I'm jealous of the person. So I feel like since I'm jealous of them, let me let them lose their job, and I'll create an excuse why what they did was wrong. Whatever it is. We should be very worried. This is the key, my friends. We are not truly aware of what motivates us. So often in life, we look it back at our lives and we say, oh, I'm such a tzaddikus, I'm such a tzaddik, I do so much chesed, and I do so much for the community. Okay, great. Now stop and ask yourself, why are you doing this? Are you doing this for people should, you know, say, wow, what a tzaddikus you are? Are you doing this l'shem shemayim? Are you doing this for, what's motivating you? And this is true of every single thing that we do. What is the motivating factor? Is it coming from a personal agenda? Or is it really coming to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show you in the future time. He's going to take a look at each and every one of our actions and say, oh, really? This you thought was the perfect model of chesed. Oh, really now? Let's go into your thoughts and see what you were thinking at that moment. Whoa. It's scary. Because are we really attuned to what is motivating us? Are we really aware of what's guiding us? Do we act without thinking most of the time? You have to have your mind overrule your desires, your kochos. Think before you act. It's not about your personal kavod. It's not about what you, it's about what is the right thing. Any question that comes up, you have to think in the with Yishuv Adad, with tranquility, with mindset, with thought. What does Hashem want from me right now? What's the correct way to behave? So at least this is what is our challenge. This is what is our calling. Not just to act because this is the way I feel like it. Like, what's driving you to feel this way? To be able to step back before you make decisions and just ask, what is driving me to make this decision? To have your dad, your mind, be able to rule over your desires. Really, you're speaking Lashon Hara and you think that it's L'shem Shemayim? Great, stop. Ask yourself, is there a part of you that's jealous? Is there a part of you that wants revenge? Is there, oh, yeah, oh, really? So then it's really not L'shem Shemayim. Then it's really not appropriate to say Lashon Hara. And that can overcome it. Somebody just emailed me, perhaps some of you have seen this, a story of Rabbi Brizak, who sends out like Hashgacha Pratim stories and the like. It's under Shakol Ne'ebidro, everything's run by Kodesh Baruch Hu. So just sent me this week a beautiful story, which I'll just summarize, of a family where the parents were very careful how they spent their money. They didn't waste money, and the kids knew that everything was apportioned out, you know, exactly. Not that they were stingy, they were careful. So they went on a vacation once a year, and everything was planned out, exactly where meals, what trips, like every amount of money was going to be spent. And that way the kids wouldn't say, oh, we want they knew. This is what they were going to get, and nobody asked because they knew this was the larger plan, and it was clear. Okay, so they start driving up north. This is in Eretz Yisrael. And one of the kids needs to go to the bathroom. So the father says, you know, it's maybe Marisayan from family to go into a non-kosher restaurant, and they drive around till they get to a kosher restaurant in the area. They walk into the restaurant, and the head waitress says, can I help you? And the man says, my son needs to use the bathroom. She says, that's really not all right, but you know what, go ahead, I'll give you permission. And they use the bathroom. Or the boy uses it, and they come out. And then the head of the restaurant comes out and says, the manager, and says, you from people, you always, you know, use the bathroom and think that it's a public bathroom, and what right do you have to come into this bathroom? Did anyone give you permission? Now, he easily could have said, yeah, your head waitress gave me permission to come in. And he stopped for a minute, and he said to himself, what's the correct thing to do at this moment? I could easily blame it on the head waitress and leave. But what would be the fallout if I do that? Is that really the right thing to do? And he said to the waiter, he said, you misunderstand. We're here for lunch. Me and, my 9 kids. And he said, oh, I'm sorry. You know, these people use it as a public restroom. And he brought his entire family in. The kids had never sat in a restaurant their entire life. Like, they didn't know whether to make heads or tails. You know, they sat like they were in some fancy place. And even though it was not in their budget, he said, in order not to embarrass this waitress, that she gave me permission when she really shouldn't have, they sat and ate the whole meal as if this was their intention. And when it came time for the end of the meal, the manager and some of the waiters came out with dessert, with candles, and they said, we didn't order this. No, you didn't order this, but we're so impressed with the behavior of you and your family. This is on the house. Then they came out with a bill, and in the bill is a receipt that, voucher. The next time you come, you'll have 50% off. And he said, what about paying for this? He says, it's on the house. He says, one of my other waiters saw the head waitress crying, and she thought for sure you were going to say, well, she gave me permission, and she's imagining in her head where she's going to find her next job. And he said, the fact that you were sensitive to her, even though you didn't plan on spending all this money on your family, but you didn't want it to be at her expense, we were so impressed by this that this is on the house, the whole meal is on us, and you don't have to pay anything. This is the type of Kiddush Hashem where a person could have easily rationalized. She gave me permission. It's her fault. Let her deal with it. She shouldn't have given me permission. Think. Act in a way of menschlichkeit. And that's where the L'chvodi B'rativ Afiv Tartiv, this is where the Kiddush Hashem comes into the world. This is where putting your mind over your personal desires. You don't want to spend the money. She gave you permission. There's so many excuses that he could have given in his head. But what's the right way to act? What's the correct way to act? And in every single situation in life, that's what Hashem is going to show us. What was the correct way to act? And that's our challenge in this world, to figure out what the correct way to act is. Shlomo HaMelech, back to Drash David in 23, taught, do not consider yourself wise, fear Hashem and steer away from evil. This means that a person must always be wary, lest he falls into a trap of sinning and then justifying his actions. This is as the Ya'aros Dvash. Rav Eibeshitz taught, a wise man was asked, what is the easiest thing for a man to do? He replied, the easiest thing a man can do is fool himself. It takes a lot of forethought and planning to fool others, but he can fool himself in a moment and at any moment. This, my friends, is our challenge. So, we have two levels so far. Level number one, the Beis HaLevi. Ani Yosef HaRavichai, you're so worried about your father? Were you worried about him with when I was sold, on a little bit deeper level? Were you worried? Did you really think that a father can lose a child and doesn't make a difference? Of course it makes a difference. Hashem cares about each and every one of us and each and every one of our actions. We, as Chofetz Chaim says, should imagine we are like an only child to the Borei Olam. Idea number two, Ani Yosef. Whoa, everything you thought about me was like a card, deck of cards. What are they? House of cards. Suddenly came crashing down. The whole life they realized was living a mistake. Ani Yosef, we're going to realize that our whole lives and everything that we thought we were doing right and we're so proud of suddenly comes crashing down. And we realize that we have not lived up to our expectations, and our excuses are tremendous. And our desires overcome our das, our sechel, our mindset. We really need to think about what we're doing and why we're doing it and what's motivating us. Third idea out of four. Rav Pam sets up. Source 24. The commentators try to explain where the reproof was in Yosef's word. Did he angrily berate them or threaten to take revenge for all the misery that caused them over the last 22 years? Everything he said to them then, in all the ensuing conversations, were words of consolation and forgiveness to calm their fears and show them they had no hard feelings for what they had done. If so, in the bracket in 24, how could the very first words he spoke to them, after revealing his identity, be considered sharp reproof? Perhaps in 25 the answer is that Yosef did not intend to castigate them, but they were nonetheless shaken up when they heard him say, I am Yosef. Those words made them realize for the first time who Yosef truly was, and how 22 years earlier they'd been totally mistaken in their assessment of him. They thought of Yosef as a dreamer with delusions of grandeur, creating fantasy of how the whole family would bend down and be subservient. That now, they now saw that every part of those dreams had come true. Yosef was nothing less than a Navi, a prophet. Furthermore, he had been chosen by Hashem to be the sustainer of the entire world. He made Egypt the breadbasket of mankind. They thought of him as a rode, pursuing one reality. He was a tzaddik, Yisod Olam, a righteous one who is the foundation of the world. Yosef's reproof was a brother's realization of how utterly wrongly they had judged him. Now they saw him in all his greatness. There's a very practical lesson in this insight. No one can judge the true value of another person, and thus it's prudent to treat every person with respect, courtesy, and honor. The actions of people are often hidden from others. A person is considered by his neighbors to be nobody, unworthy of respect, can in reality be someone with enormous achievement and merits to his credit. When a person's biggest punishment in the world of truth will be when he is shown the towering place in Gan Eden obtained by a friend whom he had ridiculed and mistreated. What will the answer to that? Ani Yosef is the biggest tochecha. I am Yosef. Did you believe that something would come from me? And so often, we say this about so many people. Him? Nothing's going to come from them. I can ridicule them. I can make fun of them. I don't have to treat them with so much honor. Ein lecha adam she'en lo makom, ein lecha dover, ein lecha adam she'en lo shah, ein lecha dover she'en lo makom. Every person, every thing has a place, has a time. And we have to have this respect. Rav Kamil Nimri Chaim takes this one step further, and he says, Umasrim Farshim in the bracket, in the asterisk 26, Shatam shalo chashvu kach mishum shalu alibam afshurit Yosef yachol lagil udargar ko kach voah. Like, yes, shouldn't you have realized this? Like, the brothers weren't stupid. Like, all the hints that he knew how to seat them in order of birth. And he returns their money. And he, puts Shimon in jail. I mean, like, it's so clear that it was Yosef. Like, why did they figure this out? And the answer is they never dreamed, talking about dreams, that it could be Yosef. That Yosef could reach such a high place. As the Rambam writes, this is interesting, Shimon HaPrachim, no one believes that a ship made out of metal could fly in the air, right? At those times, you never think that there'd be an airplane, right? You never would conceive of such a thing. They never imagined that Yosef HaTzadik could reach such a level. And this is the idea that Chazal say, in the future, when a person sees what levels other people can reach that you never imagine, that's going to lead to tremendous pain. What was it that Nivhalu Mipanav, that they were, astounded, they couldn't answer, like, whoa, Ani Yosef, you're Yosef? You reached this level? And that's how we're going to feel in the future. When we see other people and what they've accomplished in life, we'll say, oh my gosh, did I misjudge this one and that one? I thought they were just like, Pashariyin. Whoa! But my friends, it goes so much deeper than this. Notes the Dutch Raga, Rosh Raga goes bard. The language of Chazal is, Shekharish Baruch Hu Yochiach Ed Adam, that Shekharish Baruch Hu Yochiach Kol Echad Echad Al Mashahu, who you are. The Tochacha in the future is not just, the rebuke in the future is not just our mitzvot and our averos. Yes, that is true. But there's something much deeper here. Do you know what chait means? Yes, it means sin. But chait also means chisaron, lacking, to miss the mark. At the day of judgment, we're not just going to be judged for the sins we've done. Elagama kol mashe hechsir b'meshe kol yimei chayav. How we forget about our friends that they didn't, that they lived up to the potential and were shocked. We're going to be judged with the question, have you lived up to your potential? That was the Tochacha. When they saw what Yosef HaTzadik was able to accomplish in 22 years, the Tochacha was, and what about them? Did they accomplish the same amount of godless, of tzidkus, of greatness, of righteousness in the same time? Hey, Yod, continuing 27, Shekol Echad V'Echad Kibel Kochot Nefesh Goli Ma'od. We're all given stupendous amount of resources. The Mayamin Atzelo Tamaya Yachola Fuelu Pisco Ramo, we could reach the greatest of the heights. Veina Chacha Emes Sheratoli Dovli Talot. Everyone has the ability to grow. The question is, are we utilizing everything given to us? The Machar Nomen Atzel Tosmanchalo, the Kochora Nefeshalo, Latigit Baotokar Sparkulu Fima Shahu. Why weren't you where you should have been based on your life circumstances, based on what was given to you? That's the question that we're asked. This is the question that's going to be hard to answer. 28. V'zeu akav v'chomer shomdim etocha shal Yosef. Uma Yosef tanam shal shvatim. Yosef, the smallest of the brothers, when they kesher alu shvatim etocha shalahem, when he showed the brothers their mistake, they couldn't stand in front of him. Why? Because Allah hakam v'kama shekein adam chay kol yimei sheben adam chay kol yimei chayav mitoto dola v'choshev sheino yechol lido v'no chayav lido v'yechol yistapek b'moab b'nyanei ruchnios. You know what the biggest tocha is? When people are complacent, when people believe that they're able to live their lives as they are, they don't need to grow anymore, they don't need to develop anymore. I'm okay. Just leave me alone. You imagine what you could have reached? You imagine what you could have accomplished? Just leave me alone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu 29, Shemakir et Adam et Shorasho, Purse Hashem knows every one of us to our depth. Yochiach Otov Yorelo Maya Yachol Liyomi Menu. What could have been from you if you had used your time well? If you had used your Kochot HaNefesh, you've given yourself over 100%. Kamadolati Yavushas, whoa. You know, people make excuses. What do you want from me? I wasn't capable. I wasn't able. You know, they're great. But me, don't get me wrong, people say, I know great people. I know brilliant people. I know people with real gusto and with real drive. They can accomplish. You're the wrong person here. Hashem made me a little bit lackadaisical, not so bright. Not so many kishronot, not so many abilities. I'm pretty average. What do you expect from me? And the answer is, what we expect from you, Kadosh Baruch Hu expects from you, is Hashem, who's wired us, knows exactly what we can accomplish. We are not asked to accomplish what somebody else needs to accomplish. We're meant to accomplish what we're supposed to accomplish. And this is one of the greatest challenges that people have. They look around them to the right and to their left, and there's two sides to this. Compared to other people, I'm really doing a lot of chesed. So like, you know what? Like, leave me alone. Or they're cut out for this, you know, they're outgoing and they're sociable and they can do it, but me, I'm a quiet person. What do you want from me? And this is what we have to be careful. It's not about to the right, it's not about to the left, it's about you. What are your kochos hanefesh? What are you able to accomplish? What are you able to do? Rav Shmuel Jerome describes this in Source 31. There's a very interesting Gemara that says three people Hashem cries for them every day. Mishef Sharlosuk Batorah Veino Osek, one who's able to learn Torah and doesn't learn. One who is unable to learn Torah and learns. So it doesn't make sense. One who's able to learn Torah and learns, Hashem cries for them. So he says, both of them are talking about people who learn Torah. It's just that people learn Torah what the guy next to them is learning. This one's learning the Amkus, I should learn the Amkus. You're not cut out for that, so don't learn in depth. Learn Bikiyas, learn on a, you know, have a broad-based knowledge. Don't focus in on what the other person's doing. That's what it means that Hashem cries for you. Hashem cries for people who are spending their whole life with a craned neck looking at what other people are doing. You're not meant to be them, because if you were them, you wouldn't be you, you'd be them. And then you would have the responsibility of being them. But since you're not them and you are you, you have the responsibility to be you. So look in the mirror and focus on you. Look inside of you and focus it on you. That's the idea that we've spoken about at length of Rav Pinkus Natzal. When we're talking about the Neiros Chanukah, he said the greatest darkness that we have in our lives is the darkness of katnut, of smallness, where I don't believe I can achieve. I don't believe I can do something. And the Neir Chanukah has to break through that darkness and tell you, no, did you try it? Did you push yourself? Are you working with goals? Do you have a vision of who you can be? Are you working on tapping into it? Like, what's going on in your life? Klala Dvarim 32, Ba'olam Ha'emes Ein Tirutzim, in the next world, there's no excuses. You're going to be asked, why weren't you you? And, you know, he quotes here in Source 33, the Rav Yudel Leib Chassman, his Rebbe, the Rav Shmuel Jerome's Rebbe, he says, you know, people lie in their beds, and you can really hear this to be true, and they imagine their funeral, and they think, you know, oh, there'd be so many people at my funeral, and they're going to talk about what a special person I was. And wow, and then when I get up to Shemayim, whoa, am I going to be met with? And he says, while you're sitting and dreaming in bed all day, why don't you get up and actually do something to make your life worthwhile? And this is a challenge that we dream that we're such great tzaddikim. And don't get me wrong, we do a lot of good things. But we could do even more. We could push ourselves even more. We could develop ourselves even more. And this is a challenge that we have. The challenge of allowing that candle to light another night, another night. Not to push ourselves over the edge, but to take what we're doing and do it to the best way possible. And when opportunities come to us, to be able to ask ourselves honestly, did I give it a try? Am I utilizing my time well? And in our generation, we see this so clearly that a person can spend hours upon hours on technology and say, gee, I wonder what I did myself tonight. And then a person has an excuse. Well, I don't really have time to do anything else. Really? Well, how did you use your time? He quotes it a little bit, Harif in 34. Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Sher once was by the house of the Saba of Slobodka. And the Saba of Slobodka said to Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Sher, come to the window, I want to show you something. Take them to the window, and he said, you see the people walking down the street? Yeah. He says, you're watching a cemetery. A cemetery? They look alive and well. He says, what you're watching is people who have not developed their potential. He says, the difference between the cemetery at the edge of town and this cemetery is at the edge of town, the people are moving, and it's all quiet. Here, it's bustling and moving. There, the Chevra Kadisha buries the person and puts up a matzefa, a tombstone. Here, the people bury themselves, and they create their own tombstone while they're alive. And this is something to think about. You know, it's funny. I'm not sure it was funny. Right before I'm taping now, Erev Shabbos, I drove one of my kids on an errand. So Erev Shabbos in the Merkaz is impossible to find parking, so I stayed in the car, and I waited for her to come out. And then I said to myself, you're sitting in the car? What are you doing? So I said to myself, you know what, you need to relax a little bit, Erev Shabbos, you know, I'm giving a shiur soon. And then I said to myself, really? And did you remember, Shira, what shiur you're giving? Uh-huh. Do you think you could pull out a Tehillim and at least use the time well? Uh-huh. And that's what I did. Like, there's nothing wrong in having downtime. Don't get me wrong. But it took her an inordinate amount of time to get whatever the errand was. I always joke, like, you know, did the store swallow you up? So, okay, so you have a few minutes of downtime. And then what? And then, are you utilizing your time properly? Time is a gift. And whatever it is, call somebody up, do an act of chesed, whatever it is. But we are responsible for our time. And this is, the new Nir Uziel Romilevsky points out, the commentaries explain, 35, that the first question the soul will face when standing in judgment for the Holy Tribunal will not be, why did you commit these transgressions? But rather, why were you not consistent in your service of God? Man is extremely selective in his exertions. He's more than willing to put forth great effort when he stands to gain something. But when no personal gain seems to be forthcoming, he suddenly becomes averse to hard work. The Saint Rav Zusha, a great rabbi whom people refer to as Rebbe, once told his disciples, it does not frighten me to think that God will one day ask me why I failed to reach the spiritual level of Abraham. If he should ask me that, I will laugh and say, how can you possibly compare me to Abraham? You did not endow me with this intellect or with his natural talents. Likewise, it's not frightening me to think that God will one day ask Rezusha, why did we reach the level of Rabbi Akiva? Insert, but how could I? You did not endow me with this sensitivity. I'm afraid of only one thing, that one day God will ask Rezusha, why can you not reach the level of Zusha? God holds man accountable for only his own inconsistencies. Just as a student who is a slow learner is not expected to get straight A's, God does not blame a Jew of average intellect for not having become the greatest rabbinical authority in the world. By the same token, however, a highly intelligent person who excels in his profession and yet fails miserably in his spiritual endeavors will have a lot of explaining to do in the world to come. Like Yosef's brothers, he may well be rendered speechless on the Day of Judgment. The way Menachem Sion describes it, he says, when it says in the Medrash Lefi Mashahu, everyone is going to be given a judgment based on where they're at, which means that Hashem is going to say, why didn't you give money to Stucca? And you'll say, well, I didn't have the money. God, if you had given me the money, I'd give it to Stucca. Oh, you didn't have the money. Okay, let's look at your expenses. You were able to buy A, B, and C, which you really didn't need. Those were extras. So for that you had the money for, but Stucca you didn't have the money for. And it goes on and on. When you're able to see that what you are utilizing. You know, I don't have time for to do a chesed Hashem. I'm sorry, you know, I'm so busy. Okay, I hear that. But you had time for A, B, and C, which was not really worth much. So for that you had time for, but this you didn't have time for. My friends, this is I just want to add one idea on this level. What was the greatness of Yosef HaTzadik? How do we push ourselves? What's a catalyst that we are able not to be complacent, that we want to reach our end, our maximum, that we're able to push ourselves? So the Imre Chaim Rav Kamil Zatzal says, what was it that made Yosef HaTzadik Yosef HaTzadik? So the Medrash says, when Eshet Potiphar was trying to get Yosef to be with her, lost the English word, what did Yosef say? Yosef said, you know, in our family, there is a tradition that Hashem sometimes chooses somebody to be nekad, to be, you know, chosen to be an altar for God. If I do this, then I won't be chosen. And he said further, in our history, Hashem appears to people in dreams at night for prophecy. I won't be chosen, that God will speak to me. And he says, Im kein chazinan, double squiggly, shashifa legalur hizo shechzika Yosef lalo l'dagog v'horek revod madregor ha'avot. That desire for greatness is what propelled him forward. And he says, even though practically Hashem doesn't want a human sacrifice, and practically Hashem doesn't give nevuah to somebody in Egypt, it doesn't matter, outside of Eretz Israel, it doesn't matter. What matters is that Yosef's mindset was on greatness. And this is Elo Shiroim B'divrei Yosef, the end of 37, the asterisk, et ha-she'ifa tmidit l'gadlo b'chol eid. At every moment, he was ready for greatness. L'amrot she'enimot ha'fsharot ha'matimot, even though it wouldn't come into fruition. And this is what the Zohar Kadosh points out in Tehillim Pei Tadjur. Ata moshel b'ge'ut hayam, you rule over the ge'ut hayam, the hoardiness of the sea. B'shav gavlav ata tishabchein. And with their waves, you praise them. It says the Zohar Kadosh, that the waves go up, and they want to show that Yoter Mikvod Elyon, Hashem, how great and strong they are, but they don't have the ability. And Hashem puts them right down, you know, where they were. But the fact that they wanted to show their greatness, so they wanted to be as great as possible, that enough is a praise for them. Even if you're not successful, just to have that desire of, just to have that desire of greatness is a shevach. And that was the greatness of Yosef HaTzadik. He was shoef l'gadlus. He had a desire for greatness. And this, my friends, is our challenge. That every person should have a she'ifa, no matter what situation Hashem puts you in life, a desire to be great. This should be our mindset. We shouldn't look for mediocrity. We shouldn't look for, you know, how to be Yotzei Zion. This is the Or HaGadlus. This is the light of clarity of the Chanukah. This is the tshuva of Chanukah, that I can do it. And even if I can't do it, I want to do it. Or I want to do it. I want to be great. I want to be great not because, you know, people will recognize me and fame. I want to be great because I want to be the best Eved Hashem I can be. And I want to really utilize all the kochos of nefesh Hashem gave me. And I want to be able to push myself to the best of my ability because this is what Hashem made me. And this has to be our mindset. I remember a conversation I had with myself. I usually teach in Ramat Beit Shemesh on Shabbos between Pesach and Shavuos. I remember one year I was really tired, which is par for the course. And I said, you know what? So I won't teach this year. So 6 weeks, they'll find someone else. There's plenty of people to teach. Right? And then we convince ourselves, you know, I'm so tired. I have to give my energy to other things. V'chuli, v'chuli. And they're excellent, really top-notch women and men and women teachers in Ramat Beit Shemesh. I'm not worried. And then I looked myself in the eye, if you can do such a thing without looking in the mirror. And I said, that may be true. But these 150 women are coming out because they want to be inspired. And this is the inspiration that they need. So if I'm able to do it, okay, so I'm tired. Okay, life goes on. It's not like I'm full of hard tired. I'm just lazy. So if, again, there's a distinction. You have to know your own capabilities. It's just like laziness that's stopping me. Then how can I be able to answer for where were these 150 people who are going to learn and be inspired? I can't answer to that after 120 years. Do the series. And this is the type of, at least the she'ifa, I want to push myself within my means, obviously, not saying break yourself, within your means, to be able to do what you can accomplish. And this is one of my favorite pieces from the Chofetz Chaim, where the Gemara says that after Yeshua succeeded Moshe, the elder generation said, the face of Moshe is like the face of the sun, the face of Yeshua is like the face of the moon. Woe for this shame, woe for this humiliation. And the Manchester Rav Zatzal quotes the Chofetz Chaim in 39. It wasn't that they were putting Yeshua down, oh, the humiliation, he's only like the moon, not like the sun. It was humiliation for them. Yeshua wasn't the greatest, wasn't the smartest, but he was a Mevakesh, he wanted it. Oy lo sabusha, oy lo sachlima, we could have been great. We all have that she'ifa. We all have that desire. Where is it? Why are we pushing ourselves more? Then say, Ani Yosef, Ani Hashem, I wired you. I created life circumstances for you to develop yourself to your fullest capacity. Are you living up to it? So let's summarize, my friends. We'll do the final idea. Ani Yosef, Od Avichai, individual relationship a father has with every child. Hashem has an individual relationship with us. Two, their whole focus in life was suddenly flipped upside down, and they realized that whatever they thought wasn't really true. Are we living a life of falsehood? Are we living a life where our priorities are not correct priorities? And that's very scary. Do we really believe that everything is about Kvod Shemayim in this world? Idea number three is what we did now. That Ani Yosef is, oh my gosh, look what he can become. And then, oh my gosh, look at what we can become. And that's the greatest tokacha, when we see what others have achieved and we see what we could have achieved. The final idea of four, Ani Yosef, Ani Hashem, Mishkat Shem and Rav Kofman Tzatzal, in the asterisks of 40 Yulin, Yanenu Olam Edim, Shesariya Koli, Shisrael, Nosol, Asmol, Cheshbon, and Nefesh, Shekasher, Yazor, Asher, Yitbarach, Vatimaleh, Aretz, Kula, Deyat Hashem, Vitkaleh, Emet, Leim, Ko. When they said Ani Yosef, suddenly everything made sense. Oh, I get it now. Why was Shimon thrown into jail? Why was the money paid back to us? Why they had to go through everything? Ani Yosef, clarity. Ani Hashem, we understand that everything we went through in life is so clearly spelled out. And there was no bad. Everything was good. Can you imagine the embarrassment when we feel the stupidity, when we feel like we knew better than God? And when we have so many complaints, God, why'd you do it this way? And you know, Shiduchim are so hard, and Parnassah is so hard, and Refuah is so hard, and God, why is this? Why that? When the moment comes of Ani Yosef, and we'll see with such clarity that Hashem is the one who's running the show at every moment of the day, and you see so clearly that it's Him who has directed every part of our lives, and nothing happens for naught, and whatever situation we're in, it's because Kol Da'avid Rachmanu L'Tov Avid is for the good. When we're able to see that, that's the Ani Yosef moment. And sometimes in our own lives, we see this moment, Ani Yosef. Ah! Now it makes sense. The Ani Hashem will be both on the national and the individual level that all the galus we went through and all the challenges we went through and why we had experience when we had experience all has a purpose to it. V'amaskil 43, Mesils B'Vavam, Rav Eisenberger, Ba'eid Hazot, Yadum V'Kabel Lav, Gzeirat Shemayim Ba'ava. When a person realizes this, that a person will live life being able to accept whatever Hashem gives us. And that way, they'll save themselves the embarrassment later. How could Hashem put me in this situation? How could Hashem do this to me? And the answer is, because this is for my best. Ani Yosef, Ani Hashem. And whatever Hashem puts me in is what I need right now. Achein, 46, back to Mishchat Shemet. Kishiyodeh Adam Klal Zeh, Shekom Adavi, Rachman Otav Avi. When a person sees this, then, and it's not about what we see by our eyes, but rather what there's an emes tamisa. Eze rak mechamat chalomot shava dimino kalim, mechamat biyud hatzakatam, begadlo reborev amikat darkav. But we realize it's we who are limited. It's we who don't understand. It's not about Hashem. When we're able to accept this, so then we're able to embrace HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a whole different level. which is the Neros Chanukah. Again, Arachti Ner L'Mashiachai. It's a glimpse into the future, the candles of Chanukah. But I'm able to see that Ani Hashem, where everything fits into place, where everything has a purpose. Rabosai, for us, our challenge, the message for us that we should take away with, recognize the greatness inherent in each and every one of us, and the others around us, in ourselves, never comparing, just building ourselves to the utmost that we can build. Know that Hashem is the one who's in charge of every aspect of our lives. Have the correct focus on why we are living here in this world, and recognize that each and every one of us has a personal relationship with Ribono Shel Olam, and He's interested and invested in each and every one of us.